Good afternoon and welcome to our virtual meeting. It's 1:30 PM on December 7th, 2021 and time to reconvene a regular meeting of the Snohomish County PUD Board of Commissioners. I'm Sid Logan, President of the Commission. In accordance with Governor's Proclamation 20-28.15, we are holding meetings remotely today. Joining me is Commissioner Rebecca Wolf, our Vice President, Commissioner Tony Olson, our Secretary, John Harlow, our CEO General Manager, Ann Spangler, our General Counsel, Melissa Collins, our Commission and Executive Services Director, Allison Morrison, our Assistant Clerk of the Board, and Jenny Rich, our Deputy Clerk of the Board. The written record will indicate others who are present. Please mute and turn off the cameras on your devices when not speaking. I'll ask for questions or comments on agenda items as each item is discussed. Comments will be limited to 5 minutes. Some questions can be answered during the meeting, while others may require more time. Please indicate you'd like to speak by clicking raise hand, or if joining by telephone today, dial *9, and I'll call on you in the appropriate time. Are there any items to be added or changes to be made to the published agenda, commissioners?
Let's see. Yes. Go ahead. We're adding item, Ms. Commissioner Olson, we are adding item 7A at places, a presentation for the 2022 final budget.
Thank you. This meeting is being recorded. When addressing the board during the meeting, state and spell your name and indicate where you're from. Comments from the public is item 4 on today's agenda, and that's when the board will hear comments for items that are not listed on today's agenda. Comments will be limited to 5 minutes. Please note that all motions receive an automatic silent second from the board. This ensures that all issues can be brought to the floor for discussion. So our next item on the agenda is item 3, recognition declarations. 3A, employee of the month for December, Taylor Ostrander. And we have Lisa Hunwelt here to introduce Taylor.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner Logan. Good afternoon, commissioners. As Commissioner Logan said, my name is Lisa Honeywell, and I'm honored to be here today to introduce you to Taylor Ostrander, Team PUD's December Employee of the Month. So Taylor loves to call me boss, which has never really sat that well with me. But it makes sense that he got stuck with me back in 2017 because his world is full of names that begin with L. His mom is Lynn, and his aunts are Lisa and Leanne. To know Taylor is to love Taylor. When Taylor is present in a room, you know it. Actually, everybody knows it. Taylor's personality is big and it exudes energy and enthusiasm. 5 minutes into meeting Taylor, you will discover he's a diehard hockey fan, specifically the Pittsburgh Penguins, who, by the way, beat the Kraken last night and he was there to witness that. He also has a Brooks shoe fetish. Honestly, Amel DeMarco says nothing on Taylor as he has shoes for every holiday, including St. Patrick's Day and the 4th of July. And at Christmas time, you can expect to hear him jingle in around 7:30 in the morning due to the bells on his annual Christmas Brooks shoes. And then he'll head off to the microwave to make his dreaded oatmeal for breakfast. So now go to lunch with Taylor and you'll find yourself drinking Barks root beer and eating tots at taco time, or picking up a to-go sandwich at Red Rock Subs, the club, of course, gluten-free. So spend a few more minutes and you will learn that Taylor is married to Rachel and proud father to Riley, Landon, and Emma. Walk past his office cubicle and you will find out he's a Groot fanatic. According to Taylor, the most important character in the Guardians of the Galaxy, which I learned quickly upon meeting him, and that he's a fan of all things Marvel. So Taylor only knows 100 miles per hour and 120%. Taylor began his career with the district on May 29th, 2013 as manager customer service in the customer service support quality department. I didn't know him then, but I was fortunate to hear of Taylor's process improvement experience while at PSE prior to coming to the district, and approached Pam Bailey in June of 2017 and asked if I could have him on loan to support the new continual improvement program at the district. Well, she said yes, and I never let him go. Thank you so much, Pam. Mm-hmm. Taylor joined the business readiness and training team as the process improvement program manager, and he quickly learned the specifics of PDCA, Plan, Do, Check, Act, which is from Deming's system of profound knowledge. And he started teaching others at the district, along with 9 other trained CI facilitators. Since then, he has achieved his black belt in Six Sigma and has led numerous continual improvement teams at the district. Whether it was the streamlining of the line apprentice program, the revamp of the new employee orientation program, where he is infamously known as Mr. Jeopardy, or the equipment access CI team, the work order closeout CI team, or the equipment records for emergency work CI team. Taylor has clearly demonstrated the ability to make a difference at the district. Now, I actually nominated Taylor for his above and beyond work facilitating and seeing through to fruition of the COVID employee check-in stations. In the early stages of the pandemic, Taylor stepped up to lead a small group of individuals from the IMT, the incident management team, to develop a process for employees and guests and contractors to enter the building and keep everyone safe. Ultimately, the work team developed an app for easy check-in, as well as a system of daily wristbands to document the check-in. Finding easy to use and read thermometers back in summer 2020 was not easy. Now, there are multiple check-in stations at every office, which doubles its value for HR when COVID contract tracing is needed. So as I have expressed clearly, I think, Taylor is a difference maker. He is authentic in every way, hardworking, dedicated, responsive, service-oriented, and a totally amazing team player. But most of all, Taylor is passionate. He's passionate about hockey, continual improvement, his family, and Team PUD. With a big heart and energy that won't quit, the district is a better place because Taylor is in it. Congratulations, Taylor, our December EOM.
Well, well said, Lisa. Taylor, having spent a little time with you in new employee orientations, I'm not a bit surprised to see you here today. Your passion for the organization is infectious. Your ability to speak truth to power, just overall helping employees drive to improve processes and telling them it's their job is fabulous. So congratulations. Appreciate so much what you want to do. And every time I've seen you, I've had to ask you what shoes you're wearing today. You don't have to show us if you don't want, but I am curious to what you're rocking today.
I had a pair of Christmas shoes on. I've since taken them off once I sat in the chair, knowing the hot seat I was going to be under. But I absolutely
I'd love to see them. Where are they? You have them there?
You can run up and grab them. I'll send my son up to grab them, which seems semi inappropriate for a commission meeting, but this is what
we need all the fun we can get.
Fair.
Yeah. Curious to know what shoes you wear to an employee of the month celebration.
I probably still would have worn these in the commission room, just so you know. I would have absolutely done that just because.
The shorts, of course.
I don't know if I could have pulled that one off.
Well, it is a pandemic, so we don't really know what anybody's wearing.
Taylor, what was this about a black belt?
In Six Sigma, in lean process improvement.
Oh, they have black belts in that. All right. Yeah. I thought maybe it was mixed martial arts or something.
Oh yeah, no more. There you go.
Oh wow.
Oh, here comes the.
So there's little bells on them.
Yeah. Oh,
those are cool.
I imagine Julie likes that because she writes about Jingle Bell. What was his name?
I like all of his shoes. I've been lucky enough to be the recipient of some of the holiday shoes. So yes. And I just want to echo Lisa. We're so lucky to have Taylor. I would never trade him. He's my kind of person to work with and add fun and great work every day to the workplace. The whole team is a huge fan of his. So. Proud of him today. He's making us all look good.
I'm doing everything I can to keep the wells dry right now. I just very much appreciate the recognition.
Taylor, this Commissioner Olson, you know, Deming,
yeah,
and black belt, you are a rare breed. Well, and we're darn lucky to have you. Those are great distinctions, and I'm very, you all girls really impressed.
He's a very colorful personality, Commissioner. So, you know, he had to add black into that whole mix of color that he brings.
Well, there aren't too many Deming that really know how to apply it. There aren't that many around.
Anyway. I would say there's quite a few of us at the district now, I think, that do.
Oh, bless, well, that's great. Okay. Right?
Bless
okay.
their hearts. They're all willing to change, and they're, you know, it's all about the people. So it's awesome.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, Taylor's just super proud of you. This is so well-deserved, and agree with all the comments. You really bring a special flair to everything that you do and make it a lot of fun. So super glad you're a part of our team. You're making a big difference.
Thank you very much. And now everyone knows a lot more personal things about me than you knew when we started. Thanks, Lisa, for that.
So it's part of the exposure to this, brother.
Well, I'll just keep checking in with Jules here and see what else we can find out.
I have one more braggy thing to say about Taylor, his and Carrie's work on our welcome to the district. What is it? The new employee orientation is being copied by other utilities. They've been asked to speak at other utilities about it. It's really kind of leading the pack. So they're making us look good beyond our own utility, which is always super awesome.
The utility that Julie's talking about is Clark, which we will love when Clark wants to rip something from us, right?
Yes.
All right.
As long as they don't use it toward a 900 score instead of an 800.
I know. Oh, you know, there's got to be something under the table. That yeah. Next. Yeah.
Thank you, Commissioner.
I'm calling Lena right now.
Really? Lena, do not use it against us.
Well, but, I hope you have a wonderful holiday with your children and maybe lots of hockey out there practice. And so Pittsburgh, huh? Is that who you like?
Grew up watching them and I got harassed, or my son and I went last night. So it was our first time being able to see them in person. We watched them on TV all the time. But so we were surrounded in a sea of Kraken, and a lot of folks I play hockey with, we got grief, but you know, they won 6-1. So it was great to be there watching. I grew up watching it with my grandpa. So he had an old satellite dish, the big kind, you know, they're not that big anymore, but that's how we would be able to watch the games.
Well, have fun over the holidays, and thank you for all the good work you're doing.
Thank you very much.
You know, Taylor, in all seriousness, the new employee orientation is really vastly improved. It's actually one of the things where this kind of platform really works. It's wonderful that all new employees get put in small groups with other district staff, and there's no wallflowers. Everybody's engaged. It's really a superior process, and the attitude you bring towards it, and how refreshing that is for new employees. Really, I think, sets the stage for their expectations for working here at the PUD, and in a very positive way. So it's your time. What do you want to tell us? I know you're not shy.
I'm a little bit, but I'm very thankful for the opportunity, right? A lot of things really, you know, went in a positive direction. I would have had no idea that I was going to go down this path at the PUD anyway. So it's the fact that the process improvement, hit a bell for me, and I ended up thriving there. A lot of it had to do with, you know, paving the way of Pam putting me in the position to work with Lisa. And then Lisa just does an amazing job as a leader, removing barriers and allowing her staff to thrive. And that's where it's just kind of allowed me to be me. And, you know, it's hard to contain, as you all are aware, because there's a lot going on, right? My mind's usually 100 miles a minute, and it's a lot, but I sincerely appreciate all of the recognition and all of the kind words, and the fact that I've been able to make an impact on each of you. I mean, it's been really, really awesome. And you can see my son's obviously here, and this is what my wife and I try and teach them too, right? To be able to be humble and kind and gracious. And, you know, it's a lot of what we do is about the team PUD. And I believe and live and breathe that we're making huge difference and huge strides. And we've got a phenomenal place to work. And, you know, I just appreciate John's leadership and what we're able to do to empower the staff. And, you know, I'm very, very gracious. So it's awesome. And, you know, I'll try not to well up at this point because of the emotions and what you can't see my hands right now as they're trembling under the desk, but I'm very thankful.
It's exciting work you do, and I'm proud to be that we all get to go along with you. So thank you so much. Is there anyone else who'd like to say anything? Well, if not, if everyone that's comfortable would turn on their camera, let's give Taylor a big, and their microphones, let's give Taylor a big round of applause.
Woo-hoo! Wow, thank you all very much. All right.
Congratulations, Taylor.
Thank you.
Okay, next is item 4, comments from the public. Are there any comments from the public on items that are not on today's agenda? If so, please raise your hand and state your first and last name for the record. So our first one is Gayla Shoemake. Go ahead, Gayla.
Good afternoon, commissioners. Yes, my name is Gayla Shoemake and I'm calling in from Edmonds, Washington. And I would just like to underline the statement that Commissioner Wolf made earlier about the new possible support for the taming Bigfoot, the squirrel, or the, I forget what it was, the machine.
The transformer.
And as a person who worked for 2 years on the Taming Bigfoot project here in Edmonds, it would be a really good idea, I think. I think that particular critter would get people's attention and that they would think about reducing their climate footprint. So I would like to support that and say that I don't know, I'm not sure exactly how to vote. I was going to ask Julie, I tried to vote on your website, but I couldn't find it. So I'll talk to her later and she can tell me how to do that. Anyway, I want to thank you for coming up with those three possibilities and look forward to actually voting. So thank you very much. Oh, and also thank you for being so concerned about the customers and looking at the potential rise in their fees coming up next year. So I wanted to thank you for that. I think it's people need to know that you take very seriously when you increase the rates. And I think it's important for them to know that. And I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Galen. Happy holidays.
Thank you.
Okay, we have no other hands raised. So next is item 5, our consent agenda. 5A, approval of the minutes of the regular meeting of November 16th, 2021. B, bid awards, professional service contracts and amendments. And C, consideration of certification/ratification and approval of district checks and vouchers. I'll call for a motion.
Move approval.
Okay. Are there any comments from the public regarding the consent agenda? So please raise your hand. I'm not seeing any. Are there any questions or comments from you, commissioners?
No, I have none.
Commissioner Olson here. I do have a question, and it may just be my misunderstanding of the services provided. Energy Design Assistance, CW224-2243. And I have a question on, first of all, I couldn't tell from the explanation what these services are. Secondly, is this one of those that's linked to broader cooperation with other utilities? If it is, then this third question doesn't need to be answered. But my third question is, if it's for Snohomish only, the initial contract was let at $350,000 to run through 6/30/24. And this amendment is $1.1 million for the same period. So my question is not the need, but in terms of, I'm always thinking of cost, and I guess the contractor bid on $350,000 project or contract at a per unit price. So why wouldn't we want to rebid that, thinking we might get a better price with the escalation in the number of units served?
Commissioner Olson, we have Allison Grinzel on the line.
Okay,
to answer those questions for you.
Okay,
thanks. Allison, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Ah, great. So sorry you were confused about this, Commissioner Olson. We, you know, I deal with this contract every single day, so I'm sorry I didn't give you enough information. The contract is called Energy Design Assistance, and what we are doing with this contract, we have a third-party service provider that is going out to our design and construction community. So they are going to, say, the architect and the engineers who are designing brand new buildings. So we are getting in on very much the ground floor. We're getting in on the design of the building instead of, say, 3 years later when the building's designed and it's bid, and then we can look at it for energy efficiency. So it is helping us to get to influence even commercial and multifamily design of buildings. We've been able to bring in more energy efficiency into the buildings. We provide extra incentive dollars for income qualified multifamily. We've been able to influence three buildings with that. And we're also influencing and steering projects towards 100% electrification. We've also been able to identify buildings that have demand response potential, and we're gaining insight into EV charging, and we're able to steer those towards the level two managed charging. And so in some ways we're finding out, there's one example I have of, we have a building that won't be completed until 2024, but we know that they're bringing in 33 electric charging stations. So that's like great information to have this early in the game. Yeah. So that's what this contract is doing. So it's not only getting energy efficiency, we're increasing electrification, we're getting demand response potential, and we're helping to alleviate energy burden for those who most need it. And regarding the original contract, it was set for $350,000, and that was due to our very much historic inability to influence any kind of new construction for commercial and multifamily. And we have very much outpaced. So they have brought in, we have brought in the first 6 months what we were hoping to do in 3 years. And in addition, we have a very large building. It's over 3 million square feet that is in this program. And so we really want to bring that building into our service territory and provide the incentives for the energy efficiency that they're doing there. The consultant that we're working with has been, they are proprietary, which is why you didn't see us rebid this.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Just to give us all a little bragging rights, we are the first in Washington to bring in this program, although I'm fairly certain will not be the last. And we also beat California to bring it in this program. So just everybody brag about that, because I know I am. They have proven to be a really strong partner. Our collaboration has been great. They've been with us every step of the way. And just want to reiterate, you know, it's not just energy efficiency, it's demand response, electrification, and income qualified. And I know Jeff Feinberg is on the line, and I don't know if he wants to say anything as well, or if that answers all your questions.
It does. And I think my initial problem was I would have appreciated a broader statement. When these things come forward and we receive many of them, and many of them, it's hard for me to think right back specifically what this was. So it's proprietary. I get it, the increase. And not the need to go out and get new quotes. Thank you for the explanation. I'm good.
You're welcome.
Jeff, did you have anything to add?
I have so many things to add, but I won't, because I know that that's probably not the right forum. But what I would say is, This is a program that we really are excited to talk to you guys more about when we do an overall presentation of energy services. Okay. And honestly, if this had kind of fallen at a different point in the calendar, we probably would have tried to present on this program solely and then at a later meeting gone with the resolution. But just from a timing with contracting and that sort of thing, we had to kind of move it in this manner. But just to echo what Allison said, there's a lot of really, really great benefits that we'd like to talk about. And so I guess it's a teaser to just build and elaborate on what she shared. But what we really love about this program in particular, not only is it proprietary and is our vendor an extremely great partner, but it really gives us the ability to affect customers large and small in the multifamily and in commercial space. So, you know, she mentioned there's a really large warehouse going in, and this program can work with a huge customer like that. Or when we think of really large commercial customers that are coming into the territory, you know, we get to influence them at the outset so that they do the most energy efficient and kind of future design of the building so that it does have DR capability and electric vehicle. But it can also work for a small local multifamily housing building, and we can, you know, and we've proven that the program can help them make the decision to go electric only with a building instead of other things. And so there's a lot we'll share more in the future. But as we look at kind of our future program design, we want programs like this in the portfolio, and we want them to take more space in our portfolio because they accomplish so many different outcomes beyond just savings. And so anyway, excited to tell you more about it. I'll be quiet because I know that's not the purpose of this part of the meeting, but thank you for raising the question.
Well, thank you, Jeff. At some point, this, as we move into the new year, I think it would be really neat if we could have a special presentation about this project or this program. And although it's proprietary, it would be really exciting because I think it's really important what you're doing about saving energy and more energy efficiency. It's just, it's been one of my passions for a very long time. And thank you for whatever you're doing in it. Thank you.
We will have a special presentation and that will, this program will be one of the things that Jeff and team will be highlighting. And just to add a little bit more color commentary, I gave a DER and energy efficiency presentation to the APPA group last week and actually highlighted and boasted about this program to that group. And it got a lot of good positive feedback and actually inquiries on. So it's a huge kudos to the team for standing this up.
Right. I have a question on another item on the consent agenda on the sole source contract for ductile iron poles. So the second paragraph, there's a statement in there. I don't quite understand what it means. The supplier has communicated in writing to the district their status as a direct sole source manufacturer and will not provide poles through distribution. What do we mean by that?
Commissioner, this is Clark Langstrat from Contracts and Purchasing. What we're trying to convey there is that there are a number of distributors that sort of stand between manufacturers and customers and resell the products essentially to us, call them middlemen for lack of a better word. McWane has chosen not to do that in their business model. They will only sell directly to customers. And it's part of the sole source justification because sometimes you can, I mean, take like a Ford truck, for example, you could buy a Ford truck from any number of dealers in the state. And that would be an example of distribution. And so it wouldn't be a sole source because there would be multiple sources for it. In this case, there is only one source for these poles that meet our requirements. And there is only one place to buy them, and that's from the manufacturer.
And so is because there's only one source, is that why we don't just put these things in the bid spec? I know I've asked this question before. We don't just specify the material knowing there's only one. I'm just sensitive to these sole source, we don't have very many of them, purchases for a public entity. So can you talk a little bit more about how we get to sole source?
So we really try to keep the number of sole sources at a minimum level, just for that reason, because it is a sensitive topic. we would make the determination if we put out a bid for the, we actually, I guess I'll back up and say we have put out bids for ductile iron poles before, and continually we only get one response, and that's from McWane. So it's not so much a theoretical exercise in this case where we only think we could get it from one source. We've actually tested the market and determined that over the last couple of years, we only get bids from McWane, and it's just not practical for us to take, to add that extra time into the process when we know what the result is going to be.
Thank you. Any other questions? Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. Where are they producing these, Clark?
I'm sorry, Commissioner, you stumped me on that one. I don't know.
I mean, what I was wondering, from which state are they shipping?
I couldn't tell you right off the top of
my
head.
Same question, I guess. Oh, well.
I'm sorry, I didn't have that information.
That's okay.
Any other questions on the consent agenda, commissioners? Okay, not hearing any, so I will call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Next is item 6, public hearings. 6A, continue a public hearing of the 2021 IRP, 2021 CEIP, and 2022-2023 biannual conservation targets. I will now convene a public hearing on the 2021 IRP, 2021 CEIP, and 2022-2023 biannual conservation targets. As staff requires additional time to complete the notice and comment period associated with the State Environmental Policy Act, also known as SEPA, for the document, staff requests that the commission continue the public hearing until the meeting on December 21st, 2021. So I'll call for a motion to continue the public hearing on the 2021 IRP, 2021 CEIP, and 2022-2023 biannual conservation targets.
So now the proposed motion, would I be the one to read that or you?
Yes.
Okay, I move the public hearing on the 2021 IRP, 2021 CEIP, and the 2022-23 biennial conservation targets to be continued to Tuesday, December 21st, 2021 at 1:30 p.m. at 2320 California Street in Everett, or at a publicly noticed video conference, if appropriate.
Thank you very much. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. I'm hoping staff isn't just moving it so they can listen to us stumble through all this jargon.
Isn't that horrible?
So next, item 7, public hearing and action. We have 7A, consideration of a resolution adopting the 2022 budget for Public Utility District Number 1 of Snohomish County, Washington. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
Okay, I will now convene a public hearing, and Scott Jones has a presentation for us.
Okay, this is the one that was sent separately, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Or add places document.
Yeah, thank you.
Scott, you're muted.
Thank you. Did somebody unmute me there? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I could show you my screen, there are no buttons for video or unmute or anything showing up. So who knows what's happening on my side from a technological standpoint. But if you can hear me for a minute, I'll try to be brief. And Jenny, I think I've got control, right? I do. So we'll try to be brief. This is really a follow-up, commissioners, to the discussion that we had sort of verbally at the last one or two meetings. And this is really talking about some questions that you all had and some others had about the degree to which we're taking a very conservative posture right now in reserves while simultaneously looking at the 2022 budget and what I would say is a relatively small rate increase. And we want to try to make sure we connect the dots between those two, because admittedly, we are looking out into the 22, 23, 24 timeframe and thinking that we're seeing some things that are making us kind of hold on to a little bit of extra reserves because of some things that are out in the industry and in the environment we're working in. So we thought we'd put together just a few slides here. We'll go through these as quickly as someone from Tennessee can. And we'll give you an opportunity to ask some additional questions here before you make a final decision today on the budget. And hopefully this will help at least put some clarity to where our head is. So let me run through this. This is really a philosophical point that I think is worth making. When we think about risks and costs, we're really looking at it in kind of three levels, and hopefully this will help kind of organize our thoughts as we're thinking about this. So the budget, we're really looking at what we would call the likely most probable events. That's it's conservative on a hydrology perspective, but it's still in the range of reasonable. Our normal cost inflations, our expectations for equipment prices, market forecast. We talked about how we budget storms right now. We take kind of a trend line and do a 75% budget for those. These are things that we think are likely or probable, and that's what we're building the budget around. If you then sort of go to the next level, when we think about operating reserves, in this case, we call them revenue funds, but operating reserves, this is where we start getting into things that are maybe less likely, more improbable. Imagine we're budgeting 75% of major storm trend line, but we have a year where we kick up, you know, to 100 to 125% of that trend line. This is where we've got operating reserves that we can step in and help. Maybe the water forecast is a little off. Maybe the pricing in the electricity market is a little off. These are things that are on the edges of the operations, but still sort of around the kind of the baseline of the operations. And that's what we're really thinking about when we think about operating reserves. And then kind of our third tier is what we'll call the contingency reserves. You've heard rate stabilization. We've got some self-insurance reserves in there, but if you just think it as a contingency reserve, that's sort of our safety net down below that. Think bigger stuff, right? I mean, we got a big weather event, get an earthquake, get pretty extreme market conditions, those kinds of things. And so as we're thinking about how we're looking at the next few years, it's sort of this probable, improbable, and then sort of bigger, you know, far less likely is kind of where our mindset is. You've seen this slide before. It was in the last deck. I'm just drawing your attention to those two funds, the revenue fund, operating reserves, the contingency reserves. Those are kind of the two that we're talking about. When you think about the revenue funds, this is the language straight from the resolution. I won't read it to you, but it's really a traditional operating reserve that tries to accommodate fluctuations and kind of the basic operational things. And here's what we're looking at from a conservative posture. We need 120 days of operating expenses as a requirement. That would project around 115 to 120 million. We're proposing in this budget 150 million, which is about 25 or 30% extra going into 2022. I'll explain in a minute why, but that's that conservative posture right there that we're looking at from an operating reserve perspective. The contingency fund, here's the resolution as well. And really, it's got a couple of components. There's this rate stabilization portion, which we call it rate stabilization, but it can be used for a pretty wide range of events, depending on the magnitude of the event. We'd come back to you and talk about the need for it. There is a smaller piece in there that's self-insurance. We're holding on to some cash for retentions for our insurance portfolio. But the majority of this is what we would call the sort of contingency money for some of those bigger things that might happen down the road. I think of this as you've got your sort of your day-to-day annual or monthly, you know, income for your household. And then you've got some money tucked away in a savings account, which is our operating reserve. And then you might have a little bit of money further away in some stock or CD or something that is there if you really, really need it. Sort of that's, you know, kind of how we're thinking about it. More importantly, though, these next two slides, this is where we're seeing some things in our industry and in our environment that we're working in right now that are, that I don't want to say are concerning, but they're definitely, we're keeping a close eye on some of these things. Supply chain, you're reading about it constantly. And you just heard, you know, we've got sole suppliers for some things. When they have interruptions in their supply chain, that's a big deal. We're already getting, and you'll see it on the last slide, we're getting some communication from some suppliers now that we should start expecting 20 and 30 and 40% upticks in costs because they're simply not being able to keep up with demand. The downstream vendors and suppliers that they have to deal with are creating challenges. If you think about a $43 million materials budget in 2022, a 30% shift is $13 million. That's a lot of money. Now, that's, we didn't budget for that. We don't want to speculate on what that is. But now that we're entering into 2022, we're starting to see some of that upward pressure. Labor constraints, we have a $100 million labor budget. It only takes a few percentage points to get movement there. And if we start seeing constraints on the labor budget, we're seeing some data. You know, Allison, we met with Allison a couple of days ago, and they're seeing some data in the market that's kind of driving up the pay and driving up some of those things that we're looking at for the labor market. So that's obviously something that we keep an eye on. An unusual storm event can add a few million dollars. When you think bigger things, you know, major cyber attacks, gosh, I hope we don't get another pandemic, but you never know. Earthquake events, fire events, these things that are kind of out there that we see in some other places that have a pretty sizable impact. You know, obviously fire in particular, John and I talked about this the other day, that, you know, fire has been one that is of particular, you know, one that's gotten our attention a lot because we've seen a lot of our neighbors have some pretty serious impacts on that. And then really power supply, I want to spend just a second talking about power supply and market volatility because we're really talking about a couple of different things there. There's sort of the basic asset and operational risk, which is our risk if we are way off on how we get our generation, if we have an issue with one of our assets. There's also the operational risk of our partners, our vendors, our suppliers. And, if, you know, BPA, we're subject to some risk there with BPA and their operational risk. And then we have unusual water conditions, we have extreme weather conditions, and those things could really combine to a pretty sizable magnitude of dollars when we think about market volatility. And that leads us to this next one that I want to just spend a second talking about. And we've got Jason and Brian and Peter and some others, I think, that are on the call. Brian and his group, you hear from them occasionally on risk management. This looks simple, but let me give them a shout out because there's an extraordinary amount of work that goes into valuing these components. And we take into account a lot of the potential volatility into the market to try to look at what the magnitude of exposure might be. We have a risk management program where we manage to what we most likely think the market's going to do and how it's going to behave and what our loads are. But we also have to take into account that if loads go in a unique and crazy way, think 118 degrees in Bothell, Washington, back in June, and you know, market prices go extremely high, you get big generation that trips off and it drives the market. These are the kinds of things that we're trying to capture here. We manage risk management with a month ahead kind of look. So heading into a new month, we think about what we need in that month and we try to secure that going into the month. There could be some pretty significant exposure there. Within the month, you have balancing that has to happen as we see new loads and generation come on and off. And so there's an underlying risk there. Credit default is another one. We're partnering with other people. And when we get into business with other people, we've got to deal with their business risk as well. We go through a risk management process and evaluate their credibility, but you always are subject to their financial profile as well. And so we do have counterparty risk in some cases. And then sort of at the top of the stack is what we have been playing with here, or what they have, which is a peak week, which is imagine a week where it really goes haywire, where you've got very unusual weather, very unusual loads, very unusual pricing, and you can get a perfect storm that could really start racking dollars up for the district in the $20, $30, $40 million range. That number is not unrealistic because we've actually seen it before. Over the many, many years in the past, Brian, you know, has kind of tracked over history what some of our largest weeks were. And they are up into the $40, $41 million kinds of ranges. So those are not crazy outliers. We've seen them before. We don't want to necessarily budget for them, but we certainly want to have, you know, those couple of dollars in our wallet just in case. Let me stop there, Jason or Brian. I don't know if you all want to put any more color on this. Commissioners, I'll tell you, you're going to hear a little bit more about this in the meeting in January. Brian is going to be talking in a little more detail about some of these things and the modeling that they do. So I don't want to boil that down too much, but you are going to get a kind of a deeper dive into some of those things in January. But Brian or Jason, anything to add on this front? You guys kind of own this.
Got nothing too specific. I think you did a really good job covering it. You know, I will just say that Brian and Peter did a lot of great work on this, and really appreciate that their efforts. And, you know, in that peak week, kind of think of maybe February 2019, you know, where prices are hitting kind of near that cap of $1,000 a megawatt hour. And, you know, if that were to go on for a week, the kind of cost that we could see.
Yeah. Yeah, and definitely appreciate Brian and Peter and the folks on our risk management side. There's a tremendous amount of modeling that goes on behind the scenes to try to arrive at these kind of ranges and make them meaningful for us so that we can get a good evaluation of it. And these numbers are not things that we sort of make up on the fly. These folks are doing a lot of work to try to come up with these numbers. And it's way, way beyond my intellectual understanding.
Scott, can you go back to slide number 6? Oh, are you going to have questions at the end?
We can approach it however you, I've only got one more slide, Commissioner Wolf, if you want me to just do that quickly.
And then we'll
be happy to circle back for you. Really, this is just summarizing kind of where our heads are. We do like where we landed on the 2022 budget, but I definitely think we're seeing enough uncertainty right now just with supply chain and some of these other things. And Brian would even say that the market is getting a little squirrely. We've seen gas prices bounce around here in the last couple months. That certainly starts making us a little bit more nervous. We certainly think that we've got a good conservative posture here that's warranted. Now, we could get some clarity over the next 2 or 3 years, get some of these things settled down, and we may be able to take our foot back off the gas a little bit. But I would like at least for my part to end with the quote we've got down at the bottom. That's actually a quote from one of our vendors that was in a letter to us that we received about a month ago, where they cautioned us about an increase in pricing and supply chain issues. And you know, they're putting it pretty perfectly that we've got this simultaneous, you know, confluence of inflation and supply chain and personnel shortages and logistical issues. All of that has kind of been put together for what they call an unprecedented storm. And I think for us, we at least see enough uncertainty here that we want to continue our conservative posture while we learn more about how these things are going to shake out over the next 6 or 12 or 18 months. With that, Commissioner Wolf, you mentioned something on slide 6.
I think it was 6. Right. Yes. Okay. I think the slide and the quote that you just used, that you just presented, are part of the answer to my question, but the point about $43 million materials budget could be up to 20, 30, 40% increase. I know you're hearing that from vendors, but what other sources of information, from what other sources do you get those kinds of projections or predictions?
Well, I would say if you had asked me that question 2 months ago, I would say it's a lot of hearsay based on meetings that all of us are in with our peers from around the country. And it's, mm-hmm. we're hearing, you know, some of those anecdotes from other CEOs and CFOs and the like. Here 2 months later, now that I'm talking to you now, I would say we're getting some better information very directly from our suppliers and our vendors. It's firsthand information from them who are saying, hey, look, we supply you some very unique pieces of equipment and we are a major supplier for your industry. And this is what we're seeing on delivery dates and on pricing trends. And so I think as time has gone on, we're speculating less about what those might be, and we're learning a lot more about what they really are. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, if you drove by the ops center, I've got to go over there later today, actually, but when we drive by, I should take a picture and send it to you, but our equipment yard is a lot thinner right now than it was 12 or 18 months ago. There's a real live impact to this that's actually happening right mm-hmm. before our eyes.
Yeah. Yep.
And I do agree that there's some uncertainty on what the real pricing impact would be. I can't answer that question perfectly, but I definitely think we're starting to get enough feedback from suppliers and vendors that that it's definitely real, at least for our equipment. Now, you know, I can't speak to the availability of turkeys at the grocery store for Thanksgiving, but I can tell you that our equipment yard is running pretty thin.
Well, thank you. It's just such a huge increase. I think vendors want to tell you that, of course, but what other sources of financial information are we? But I also heard you say that there's a lot of conversation in your meetings about this from other leaders in your work.
Yeah, I'm hearing it from, I'm hearing it from my peers on LPPC CFO calls. John's hearing it from his peers on, you know, WEI board meetings and LPPC CEO calls and others. I mean, there's a lot of folks in our industry that are sort of reinforcing this point. So we definitely are seeing it from a lot of corners. Jason, I'm sorry, you might have jumped in there and I interrupted you.
No, I was just going to add on to your point, Scott, and I was in a meeting with a couple other BPA customers this past week, and, you know, they were talking about their constraints around power transformers, as well as pad mount transformers, you know, that we use to serve individual houses. And
mm-hmm.
They're seeing the exact same kind of supply chain issues that we're seeing. Mm-hmm.
The flip side of that is, we may not be spending that money because we can't get the materials at all. And that's kind of where we're headed with the transformers, which is even scarier. It's real. I mean, we are short on pad mount transformers and we're having to be extremely creative to try to figure out how to continue to meet the growing development demand. It's real.
I believe you. Okay. Thank you.
I mean, I don't want to, I don't want to open up a can of worms with this. I would say if I knew right now, if I knew the information I knew right now 2 months ago, we probably would have been a little more conservative in some of the line items in our budget. That's just mm-hmm. reality. That's not to say that we need to open anything back up. I think, you know, we've got the safety nets with our reserve mm-hmm. and our conservative posture to weather those kinds of events. But it would probably make us think a little bit more had we known this 60 or 90 days ago, with more clarity, I should say.
Uh-huh. Thank you. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, that's all I've got, at least from a formal standpoint. We're happy to talk about anything you would like to. I know we're leading into a budget approval request, and mm-hmm. certainly we wanted to give you a little bit more context here.
Oh, thank you so much. Now, this is... This is perfect, perfect for myself to help understand the context of the risk. And I really appreciate Brian and Peter putting a pencil to it. And it really, the context is really important to me, especially in a budget where we're going to have a rate increase. Commissioners, are there any other questions on the presentation?
I don't have a question. Commissioner Olson, this presentation is very important for me because it's something, since I'm a worrywart, that is hammering on me, that what are we going to do? How are we going to cover it? How are we going to protect our customers' assets? And I have confidence that you're ahead of the curve in terms of identifying potential at different levels. And I also think, I don't want to go into detail, but my guess is beyond getting the transformers into stock, in general, these shortages actually go further into utility operations in terms of costs or delays of work that isn't even being captured here. This is just the purchase, but I appreciate this. And I, as we move forward in the year, I will look forward to updated reassessment of where we are.
Yeah, thank you, Commissioner. And let me just reinforce that point, because we will, this is something that we're going to constantly be looking at, right? This is not the only time we're going to look at this for the next 5-year forecast. So we're going to have another bite at this apple every time we put a budget in front of you. And our goal is to keep the trend line for those 5-year forecasts as closely to what we told you with the budgets, as close to what we told you as we can. But we do want to pounce on any opportunity to pull back a little bit if we get a chance. And so, I think we're trying to establish a watermark that hopefully we don't go above. And then as opportunities present themselves, maybe we can create, the chance to pull back from those. But we certainly, as you know, to hit this over and over, but we definitely see some things in the environment that we want to protect ourselves for.
Yeah.
Any other questions, commissioners?
Nope.
Okay. Are there any comments from the public regarding this resolution? If so, please raise your hand. I'm not seeing any hand raised. Thank you again, everybody, Sarah and Scott, for all the work on the budget this year. And thanks for this additional context today. That's very helpful.
Yeah, just another kudos, Scott, and as Scott said, Peter and Brian did a lot of extra above and beyond work to put together this slide, the slide deck and the information. So that's greatly appreciated. And then all the work that has gone on from the beginning on the budget, getting the budget developed, it's just been a fantastic effort by everybody.
Yeah, and to be clear, I didn't do anything on these slides other than talk to them. Brian and Peter did a lot of analytics, and Sarah put a whole lot of information together. So I just literally am the face of the slides.
And I need to pile on a thank you to Peter, who sent me much of the work at 12:30 Monday morning. So thank you for putting in some late hours.
Yes.
And I don't mean to belabor this, but that's what I wish. If some of our customers would at least show some interest in our hearings, to actually hear this and hear how complex it is and hear how the utility staff take their interests at heart and are doing everything they can to protect their asset. It's unfortunate that they don't hear this level of detail and work. I don't need an answer.
I appreciate those comments. And I think that goes right to the heart of how committed and dedicated our team is. And kudos are not from the customers. We would do it anyway.
I know.
The integrity of the folks that we have.
Well, we're protecting their asset.
Yep.
It's their asset. And anyway, I'm done.
Okay. Well, I will now close the public hearing on that note. And I will call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Nice work, team. Next is item 8, items for individual consideration. 8A, consideration of a motion accepting the financial planning and budgeting monitoring report. I'll call for a motion.
I move acceptance.
The report is in our packet, and Sarah Bond is available to answer any questions regarding the report. Are there any comments from the public regarding the report? Not seeing any. Are there any questions or comments from you, commissioners?
I have no more.
Commissioner Olson, I don't want to belabor it here. I guess I was awake the other night, and this particular monitoring report is one that we need to put on our list when we revisit board policy, because I think with regard to some of the descriptions in terms of guidelines for rate increases and stuff, I think that those were set when the utility did not have a pass-through rate. So some of these percentages may not work in the current environment. I don't know, but I just think it's something that perhaps Melissa or Allison could put on our worksheet for when we have our next policy review. So I just think we may need to relook at that. That's all.
Okay, thank you. I will call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Sarah. Next is item 8B, consideration of a resolution authorizing the CEO General Manager to execute the proposed water service area agreement between Public Utility District Number 1 of Snohomish County, May Creek Water System, and the City of Gold Bar. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
Okay, we have Brant Wood available to answer any questions regarding the resolution. We've been briefed at a previous meeting about it. Are there any comments from the public regarding the resolution? If so, please raise your hand. Okay, I'm seeing no hands up. Are there any questions or comments from you, commissioners?
I have none too.
Okay, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Next is item 8C, consideration of resolution authorizing the CEO General Manager or designee to execute a capital agreement for Clean Energy Fund 3 grant with the Washington State Department of Commerce for funding for a low-income community solar project in South Everett. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
Okay, we have Susie Oversvee to answer any questions. We've been briefed about this exciting project. I'll first ask and see if there's any questions or comments from the public regarding this project or this resolution. If so, please raise your hand. I'm not seeing any hands raised. Are there any questions or comments from you, commissioners?
If Susie's on, I was just wondering if all of these other factors that we've just heard about with moving things, you know, deliveries, materials, increases. Do you know if that's affecting the project yet?
Hi, commissioners, this is Susie. Can you hear me?
I can. Yes.
Okay. I don't have a good answer for you yet. You know, we are, with the grant agreement getting in place and getting moving on this, I think we'll get some answers soon. We'll start the design process and start getting a better idea. But I do imagine, you know, there is that possibility that mm-hmm. some of the product could take a little longer than we would have anticipated otherwise. But I, like I said, I don't have a good handle on that at the moment.
Sure, understandable. Okay, well, I hope it doesn't take too much longer to get things moving and start seeing something happening on that. It's a good project.
Thank you. Yeah, I hope that we can get moving quickly and get it in the ground.
Any other questions or comments, commissioners? Okay, not hearing any, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye, motion carries. Thank you, Susie. Next is item 9, our CEO General Manager report. Your report first today, John?
Yeah, I've got a few items I'd like to share with you. I have trimmed this down just a little bit, given we've had a fairly long day. First, out of our IT group, the customer service and IT team successfully deployed changes to the district contact center phone IVR system to provide enhanced capability to our customers, including improved options for customer self-serve, for our business customers, and support for the Spanish language. These enhancements include the new IVR self-service offerings for business customers, added IVR menu Spanish support for business service customers, streamlined process for closed, business emergency, team meeting, and other holidays, implemented changes to standardized business and residential scripts to ensure a similar customer experience for both English and Spanish-speaking customers, and updated call flows for our business services in English and Spanish. In HR, the district's COVID testing program will begin next Monday, the 13th, on a voluntary basis, and officially start on Monday, December 20th. Unvaccinated employees who report to a district worksite will be required to test. This program required an amazing amount of innovation, collaboration, and grit to get ready to launch. There are so many people at the district who had a hand in getting this across the finish line. I am super proud of the work of all district employees who have part in this. They really showed the how to collaborate to further the safety and health of our folks. While testing of the unvaccinated will not eliminate every potential case of COVID, it will help identify cases in those most at risk of getting COVID and of potentially having an illness from COVID. We talked about this a little bit earlier, but just to share a little bit of the kudos long-term care update. About 830 employees signed up for the Allstate Life Insurance back in August. As of December 2nd, payroll had received about 530 exemption approval letters from employees. That's a huge thank you to our outstanding HR and payroll and accounting teams who are hard at work processing these exemption forms so that employees' paychecks are not taxed for LTC in January. And also in the HR compensation team has been leading our non-represented job description and market pay project for over a year now, and it is expected to continue through the first quarter of 2023. Part of this huge project is to implement a software application, which allows the district to quickly aggregate multiple salary surveys and market pay data sets to maintain alignment more efficiently with the market once the project is completed. Another key component of the project is enhancing our current pay equity analysis, which is critical to ensuring we adhere to our diversity, equity, and inclusion values, as well as maintain continued compliance with pay equity laws more efficiently and with better analytics. Without the software application, all pay equity analysis are completed in a manual process that may take days to complete just one evaluation. With this new application, a pay equity dashboard will allow us to analyze in minutes pay equity by gender, race, age, and other protected categories, as well as evaluate the differences in pay in relation to experience levels and other job relevant factors. An RFP is in process, and this application implementation is anticipated to be completed by mid of 2022. In customer and energy services, continuing to partner with Snohomish County and Workforce Snohomish to apply our federal rental utility assistance. To date, we have applied almost $700,000 to 813 households to reduce or eliminate arrearages acquired during the pandemic. The team continues to validate customers weekly, and in addition to supporting proactive outreach, have two further groups of customers under review for pledges. And a huge shout out to our CSRs for their outstanding work, specifically on November 29th, the Monday after the Thanksgiving holiday. Extremely heavy call volume started first thing in the morning, and we stayed steady throughout the day, They answered just under 80% of our customer calls that day within 30 seconds or less, with the remaining customer calls all answered around 60 seconds. That is really phenomenal with that, the kind of call volumes ahead. And then lastly, in our facilities, general power rates and transmission, over the last month and a half, the Puget Sound region has been hit by several atmospheric rivers. In the last week, I'd never heard of atmospheric rivers up until just a few weeks ago. In the last week of October, we experienced our first atmospheric river, which resulted in a 14-foot rise in the Spada Lake Reservoir. On top of that, in November, we experienced two such events in rapid succession, ultimately resulting in Mother Nature delivering more water than the Spada Lake Reservoir could retain. As the reservoir approached the elevation of spill, generation and power scheduling took proactive steps to attempt to dampen the magnitude of the coming spill event. While those actions helped to avoid spill during the first event, at a maximum draft rate of 1 foot per day, we were not able to get in a good reservoir position before the arrival of the second event. The water level in the reservoir rose quickly, over 9 feet in 1 day. The reservoir spilled water through its Morning Glory overflow system for 3 days. Once it became evident that spill was unavoidable, staff exercised control to shape the event to achieve a license-mandated channel maintenance flow. In adherence with very specific magnitude, duration, and timing criteria, generation staff were able to perform this action in a way that did not exacerbate flooding in Salton. Once flood stage in the Skykomish River receded to safe level, we executed opening the valves. This well-timed release met all of the criteria of our successful channel maintenance flow and the habitat-based objectives consistent with the natural high flow event, including transport of sediment and wood, along with the carving, shaping, and dynamic creation of desirable habitat. So a great outcome from a really pretty scary event. That's all I have, unless there's any questions or comments.
Hey, John, I need to make a very quick comment. I'm sorry. Before we move on, can I say, I should have said this earlier, and I'm sorry to interrupt. Today, we approved officially Sarah Bond's 15th budget. So I just wanted to note the milestone. Sarah's been here for a while. So I'm going to embarrass her. And I messaged her and told her to prepare to turn on her video and look embarrassingly and awkward for a second. But anyway, I just wanted to do as much as I could to make her feel awkward while celebrating her 15th budget. So anyway, thank you. Sorry for the interruption.
That's awesome. I'm glad you chimed in. Congratulations, Sarah.
Congratulations, Sarah.
This is Tony. Sarah, where did you go? I think that's the longest serving budget administrator.
Apparently, I like my job.
That is you do a phenomenal job of corralling a lot of different people throughout the organization, Sarah, and really keeping people on task. And it shows, and very proud of you.
You know, it's such a huge responsibility. What you do is just an enormous responsibility. So thank you for being so good at your job.
And John, sorry to steal any thunder there on your other stuff. You had a whole lot of really good stuff there you were saying, and I didn't want to interrupt you. So anyway,
no,
thanks
and that,
all.
And that was the abbreviated report.
Yeah.
Any questions or comments on John's abbreviated report? I just want to say I'm thrilled that we're going to be able to analyze equity and pay so well. I mean, I'm thrilled about all of it. I did see the spill that was happening, looking at the data on our website. And so I'm thrilled that we were able to make that one of those events so that spill went towards something. So.
Yep.
This is Jason, and maybe I'll just jump in with a comment here. Yeah, it was an excellent job by the generation team. And we did have a second spill this past week that started, I believe it was last Sunday, and just wrapped up on Saturday. Didn't have any valves open, at the base of the dam, and just kind of goes to the point of, how long it takes to drain the lake down once it gets above the spill elevation. It can rise very quickly with all the water coming in from the different rivers and streams, but it takes a long time to drain it down. But great job by our team managing it. And yeah, atmospheric river is a new term.
Yeah,
I think Historically, those have been known as Pineapple Expresses, especially when they bring the warm weather from the Hawaiian Islands. So kind of some fun stuff there.
Well, I was going to ask Commissioner Wolf if she knew what it was. That's her area of expertise.
No, it's new to me, too.
Oh, okay.
I was thinking it was a Chinook. No, but I think a Chinook is a warm weather, warm breeze, right?
It is. It's a warm wind.
Yeah.
Okay. Next item 10, commission business. 10A, commission reports. Are there any reports, commissioners?
I attended a really interesting meeting of the Economic Alliance of Snohomish County on transit planning.
Oh.
It really motivated me to want to take the bus more.
Yeah, that really was a good meeting. You realize the opportunity because of light rail for them to take the assets they have and put them to other places to improve service. And
right.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. I agree.
Because Commissioner Olson, I did have the opportunity to represent the board at the new employee orientation, the last one. And I think this was mentioned earlier, but this format, over the years, I've done many of them, but this format really, I think, I don't know if it's because it's the distance or whatever, but most all the new employees actually were actively participating. Mm-hmm. And I really liked that.
Yeah, it's a wonderful program. I really enjoyed it the time that I think I've only done it once, but I loved it.
Yeah, every time someone tells me how they don't like Zoom, I always mention it because it is the one thing that I think has worked better in Zoom than everything else, because it really makes everyone get together. There's really no wallflowers. And it's a great process.
Yeah, I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't have a report, but I do have a little short comment I wanted to make. So during lunch, I was reflecting some more on our water rates presentation this morning. And I just wanted to thank Brant and his team for the great work they're doing on behalf of our customers. Mm-hmm. You know, not only are our water rates amongst the lowest in the region, simultaneously, we're making large investments in our infrastructure, replacing our water mains, getting ready for Connect Up, and, you know, in investments for redundancy. And so pretty significant, great management by Brant and his team. And I just wanted to, we don't talk about water as much as we could. And I'm just, it was a great presentation today and I appreciate the work they're doing. So next we have 10B, our commission events calendar. Are there any changes to the commissioner events calendar?
The only thing I would like to mention is that given the uncertainties of the pandemic and wanting to conserve our money as possible, as much as we can, I really think that maybe we should not go in person to the APPA conference. Was it January coming up? Or February?
I think it's February.
February, yeah. I don't think that we're ready to go into that. I know that John has business in DC this week, but I mean, I assume so. Unless he likes to go there just for fun.
Here for APPA.
Yeah, APPA. But for the annual meeting, or the ledge rally. I don't think
you're talking about the DC.
This is my personal feeling about it. What do you think, commissioners? What do the other commissioners think?
Well, as Commissioner Olson, I typically do not participate in the DC rally, so I wasn't planning on going anyway.
If I could chime in just a little bit, I think, and I don't want to speak for Kim Johnston, but I think we actually wanted to bring back a little different proposal for how we would engage with our delegation, and not participate at all, but think a little differently on how and when we engage with our delegation. And not keep it just focused on that rally each year, because it's, mm-hmm. And this year may be a good year to do that because of some of the other concerns regarding travel and the ongoing COVID issue. So I just throw that out there because I know Kim and I have talked, and we have a little bit of a concern on the value that we actually get out of those rallies.
Right.
Just wanted to propose maybe some different options on how we can engage the board and all of us with our delegation in better ways.
Yeah, sounds good. Sounds reasonable, John. And now with the new boundaries for our congressional districts, that's going to affect some of that as well.
I'm open to doing something different. I mean, I think the goal really is how we interact with those federal electeds. So right. There's a better way for us to do it. I've sort of been thinking the way the pandemic's going, it'll probably be canceled anyway. But yeah, so I'm open to looking at different ways to do it.
I really think Snohomish has a better chance for getting in the door and actually talking to a senator or a rep if we're there on our own. I'm sorry. What I do think you mean? Far more progress.
Could you kind of explain that a little more? What do you mean by on our own?
I guess I'll wait to see what Kim comes back to us with, but Mike, APPA rally, you know, it's great. I have no issues with the rally, but when it comes time to go on the Hill, there are thousands of folks walking around the houses there, the different houses. And you're lucky if you can get 3 minutes with a congressperson's office.
Right, right.
And yeah. Half that time, the congressman doesn't show up. So, you know, I think if we go back on specific issues that are important to Snohomish, where you really target the reason you're there, whether we do it remotely or in person, I really think I think Snohomish would stand out from the rest.
And of course, as Kim would know, because she was a leader in the office of Congressman Larson, it's those aides and those assistants to the congresspersons who really are so critical in our contacts, not mm-hmm. just the members of Congress themselves. But I mean, I'm in touch with a lot of them on different topics from different times. And I think we really need to support them as well as the aides who serve our members of Congress.
Yeah, and I think our situation is a bit different based on the size we are. I think the legislative rally probably is more critical for the smaller utilities that don't have a Kim and a whole department working on that and don't already have those relationships. Uh-huh. So it's a way to help them go to the Hill and get their point across. And I think we have made good relationships with our members of Congress, and I think when we need to tell them something, I think they're willing to listen. And so mm-hmm. I think we're in a different situation. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
And also those Economic Alliance meetings often feature our members of Congress as guests. So I encourage people to attend those Economic Alliance meetings, especially when we're going to have members of Congress as our guests.
Anything else under commission or commission calendar? Okay. Next is item 10D, consideration of election of commission officers for the year 2022. So we'll facilitate a discussion about nomination suggestions. I was reflecting that Commissioner Olson, this would normally be the year that you would be president. I don't know if you have any interest in being nominated.
Well, I would like us to have, I need to have a motion on the table to have a discussion. Bottom line, we had a real dust up last year over this. Mm-hmm. And part of my reason for not voting for Commissioner Wolf to be in the president's seat had to do with what I felt was her not having a solid enough understanding of utility operations in order to carry out the responsibilities of the president during commission meetings. I have to say, Commissioner Wolf, you've made a lot of progress, and I do kudos to you. It's a tough industry, and I think that you have worked very hard to kind of connect the dots. So, but I guess I need to have something to speak to. I mean, would one of my fellow commissioners put a motion on the table for what they propose as the elective seats? Well, I'm not prepared to do so either. So what do we do?
Well, you have to, per the RCW, you have to nominate a president and a secretary. So somebody's going to have to make a motion for somebody.
Actually, I think through our board policy, we don't have to do anything. Is that correct, Melissa?
You could leave it as it is, but I would think it would need to be a motion to keep the structure the way that it currently is.
Well, this is an awkward thing for me. I'm ready to serve and have wanted to, you know, but I'm reluctant to nominate myself unless I have the support of the other two commissioners.
Well, that's, you know, I guess I mentioned the dust up last year, and I know that I know, and I've stated my reasons for not supporting Commissioner Wolf in the seat of the president. And this year, my vote's going to be based on clarification on some questions that I do have. And they relate to Commissioner, in terms of Commissioner Wolf, you have expressed over some time your dissatisfaction with some of the board protocols and the policies that we follow. So I'm wondering, in representing me as a fellow board member, what might I expect to see in terms of changes that you would want to bring to the responsibilities for the president and the board's practices?
What I would like to see is our meeting, even if we have to do it virtually, to discuss those policies. Because if we make any recommendations for amendments or other changes or even implementation of those policies, we need to be, you know, have consensus around those.
Well, I think that, and it's unfortunate because I think this, the delay in the board has agreed that they wanted to revisit everything. And we have been postponed due to circumstances that are outside of our control. So it's been a couple of years that we haven't had the opportunity to get back together. And I don't want to do it piecemeal. We have a set of practices, policies that the board approved. And in the interim, those are the practices and policies that I'm going to follow. But the board president, I would anticipate, would follow them as well. And I need to hear if that's not the case.
Well, Well, certainly until we make changes, it would be necessary to follow the policies that are in place. Saying that though, I would say that we are three people and any one of us can raise questions or, you know, objections to things, and then we talk it out. And I do think we could do some meetings virtually, even though it's not ideal perhaps, but we could, because look at all the good work that has gotten done virtually with the IRPs and the CEIPs and all these different programs, and it's all been done pretty much virtually. So I would like for us maybe to reconsider meeting so that we can hear each other and talk and decide if we want to make any policy recommendations different, you know, any amendments that we could discuss those.
If what I'm hearing from Commissioner Olson, and Commissioner Olson, please correct me if I'm wrong, is she's saying that we want to follow our policies up until the time that we might change them in the future. And you know, Commissioner Wolf, you have been sort of pushing against the policies almost as soon as we adopted them. And we did adopt them unanimously. I think it's probably the first time the commission had relooked at its policies probably in many years. And we did that, within a few months of you coming on board. So I think that's the question I would like to know. If you're president, are you going to follow all of our policies and procedures as regards to how you get questions answered, working with staff?
Absolutely, yes. And also, if I could remind you, I was new in 2019 when we had those meetings. And I, even though it's not an excuse to say, well, I was new, truly, I did not have a real mentor or training other than, you know, just through other commissioners, really. Or if I had questions, I could ask. But it's not really, I mean, yes, Melissa, Allison, John, everybody's been helpful if I've had questions, but that is not the same thing as having gone through. So I've had OJT on the job training and I've really enjoyed it. And I think I have the background to be a strong leader, but not a pushy one. I would want to be a good listener and consider all aspects of a question or a comment before we comment, but mainly listening to other people and getting other opinions and continuing to learn. You know, it was 2019 and I had some misgivings, which I expressed during a couple of our workshops, but when it came time to vote, you know, it's two against one. And so even though I may have expressed questions or comments about things, it didn't do any good, really. I mean, I suppose on the one hand, I could say, well, I wasn't persuasive enough, you know, but maybe I wasn't knowledgeable enough to be persuasive. That's all I can say. But anyway, I am ready and prepared to serve with your help. Of course, with the help of all who would be willing to help.
Commissioner Wolf, you said you absolutely would follow the rules, but there's been so many times that you haven't, that you've reached in to deal with staff directly. I mean, these haven't just happened in your first year or your second year. These things have continued to happen. So I guess that's what I'm uncomfortable with this has come up so many times, following our rules.
So,
and I know you disagree with the rules and I appreciate that, but
no, I don't.
I'd like you to address.
That is really unfair, I think, because I do not disagree with all the policies. There are certain ones that I have raised questions about as far as the implementation of them, but it's very unfair to label me or brand me or to create an image of me that you want the public to have. I have not continued to go directly to staff.
Well, we've had some rocky years. And for me to be able to make a decision on how I would vote this year, I need, there's a rotation. Commissioner Wolf has missed a rotation, I think two rotations. And for me, there have been ongoing, and you know, I've listened to some of our tapes, and in some instances, there has been an outright disdain expressed for some of our policies and practices. And I need to have the confidence that those things can be put aside so that we can run productive meetings in a professional manner. But when I hear meeting after meeting, the constant, and I think it's more of a frustration, Commissioner Wolf, that you've got a lot of great ideas and they seem to get, I think in your opinion, buried. And I don't see them as buried. I see those as adding to the list of what we need to tackle. But you're representing me, and it's not helpful for me to have my representative be openly very negative about the policies. And how is Commissioner Wolf going to lead the meeting professionally with having expressed all of that? That's my struggle. I need some assurance, and I'm not getting it.
Well, specifically, what assurance do you want? I've already said I would respect the current policies until such time as we would decide we want to amend them or discuss amendments. I don't know. I do not want to be in a position of just trying to defend myself. But we are three people. And so any one of us should be able, during a commission discussion, to speak our mind. I mean, you know, saying this, you know, this is how I think about it. This is how I feel about it. But I think it's really important to listen to each other. And I don't know why you think my one vote would be, what's the word I want? My one vote is only one vote. I certainly think I could lead a meeting. The good work that our staff do, it's all in script. I mean, we have a good script, and we are, and Sid's done a good job of following the script and leading our meetings. And, you know, but I think we all need a turn.
I don't disagree with that, but I'm just being totally upfront and honest in assessing that Commissioner Wolf has not had a rotation into the president's seat. But when I step back, I'm thinking she's representing me, and how will she manage the flow of our meetings? And it's not about, it's an oversight over a management thing, that not having served in that slot, I'm not hearing that might occur. And you know, I'm sorry to have to raise these things, but over and over and over again, I can understand the frustration. You've done a lot of research, and I'm hoping that you'll bring that forward when we do revisit our policies. But meeting after meeting after meeting, it's just open a disregard for our policies and a frustration with them. So my question is, how are you going to take on the presidency with those kinds of feelings?
Commissioner Olson, I appreciate your comments, and I appreciate fact that you're trying to be very fair-minded. But I think you, if you're going to say that over and over and again, meeting after meeting, these things are happening, you really need to be specific, because I don't agree that that is true, that I have been a problem.
Well, I can certainly take, well, I don't know if the next two weeks are going to be kind of tied up, but there are some. And if you would go back over the meetings, I went back a year and a half. And I think it's tied to your frustration. It's more your frustration. And then linking that with leading the commission, representing me, and in terms of the orderly business of the board, I'm hearing what I'm hearing over the last year and a half. I'm hearing what you're telling me now, but I'm not. And if my vote would also, if I do choose to vote you in for the president's seat, I would also remind any one of us that should there become problems, I won't hesitate to deal with them.
Right. Absolutely. And you should.
So,
yeah, we have mechanisms in place whereby you can, you know, express your own point of view, and then we can discuss whatever it is. But, you know, I did lead one meeting in Commissioner Logan's absence, and I think I did fine. I think I did a good job. You know, it's pretty simple, really. As I said, the staff do such a good job of preparing all the materials, and, you know, it would just be my honor to serve. That's all I'm going to. I'm not going to keep trying to defend myself against things that I do not think are absolutely correct, you know, and sometimes maybe I did, you know, if I spoke out against something. I think that's, you know, we don't have to vote. We don't have to be in agreement, total agreement all the time on everything.
Absolutely. You're correct.
That's not a healthy situation.
Right. But it's, I wouldn't be raising this if I really didn't have a concern about it. And I'm not quite sure. Oh. I'm not getting any more comfortable, I'll tell you. I'll be right up front.
So I'll chime in here for just a sec. I think what I'm hearing, Commissioner Wolf, is the concerns regarding the policies of how you engage with getting information or needing information, and the continuing of you trying to go directly to employees rather than following the protocols that were set up. And we've had that conversation often. I don't think it has anything to do with any individual disagreements around board topics. Actually, I think everybody believes those are good. It's good to have different perspectives, good discussions. It's around the policies that the board had approved early on regarding how to you know, get information, ask questions of staff, and so on and so forth. I think that's one of the concerns. And I don't want to speak on behalf, but I know that's been a concern.
Yeah, I think it was in the first year, maybe the second year, but I don't think if you are really I don't want to say honest, but if you're really looking at the facts, don't think that would be the case in the last year or more.
Well, we had this conversation not that long ago, probably a couple months ago or so, where we had similar situations that were, and we talked about it in the commission meeting.
Well, I don't recall that.
So we're going to need to have a motion put on the table.
Oh, we understand, Melissa. Thank you. So I move to nominate Commissioner Olson as president for the year 2022. Is there discussion on my motion? Okay.
Well, yes, there's discussion because I really want to give all three commissioners the opportunity for rotation. And that's why I'm trying to be really sincere about this. But I'm not getting a response back in terms of being really upfront about, as president, I plan to change these things. I'm hearing, no, that as president, nothing will change. And yet there has been dialogue over the meetings for many months about the need to change some things. And I'm not against change, but that change needs, we're stuck with what we have right now, which I think is pretty good, but we can't just I'm not comfortable with just arbitrarily doing something outside of the scope of what this board has agreed to. And I'm not getting a real strong commitment from Commissioner Wolf. I'm not hearing that you are, other than I'm gonna do it and I'm gonna do a great job. And no, not even acknowledging, Commissioner, that we have had some rocky spots. And I asked the question, what things would you change?
I guess I didn't communicate clearly, but what I did say, Commissioner Olson, is that as long as we have the policies that we have voted on, until we would want to make some amendments or make any changes, I would be committed to following them. And I have followed. We have many, many policies. There have only been a couple of times when I've raised issues about some of them, or a couple of them, maybe three. But I think it's really important in communication to not overgeneralize and to not say, well, I feel this, I think that. Let's focus on the facts and real concrete evidence, if it's there. But if we did that, then I think that we would have a better chance of understanding each other. And as well, I say, if
the
I
facts said, are in the meeting tapes. The facts are in the meeting tapes.
Right.
Well, and if we want to take the time to listen to them, fine. I have done so. And we each have our thoughts, our ideas. We need to be open to exchanging those ideas. But when it's done with an overtone of disregard, open disregard, that makes me real uncomfortable if my president is going to rotate into that seat with those feelings or those intentions even. And I guess I'm not being very clear. I thought I have been, but I'm not getting back something that I feel confident that will be carried through.
Well, we have mechanisms in place that if I am doing anything that isn't, in your opinion, correct, you have the right to let me know, either in the meeting or through some other means. I would try my very best to be a good leader. And even if we all have different styles of leadership, that's not a bad thing.
So, Melissa, you said that we needed to settle this today.
Well, it needs to be done before the first of the year. So if it's not done today, we'd have to do it at the next meeting. But our governance policies do say at the first meeting in December that this will be decided.
Or it says, or until such time as the successor has been selected, right?
Could you repeat that, please, Commissioner Logan? Or?
Well, here's what it says. It says at the first regular commission meeting in December of each year, the commission shall elect officers of the board to serve for terms of 1 year or until such time as a successor has been elected for each such officer position. These terms will commence at the time of the first regular meeting in January of the year following election.
Right.
So we changed the language when we updated the board policy to, I think, from an absolute until officers would stay in the same positions until an election happened, a different election happened. But right now I've nominated Commissioner Olson and we're having discussion about my nomination. So I guess I'd like to conclude this discussion and act upon my nomination. And I don't know, Commissioner Olson, if you're even interested in being nominated. If you're not, I withdraw my nomination. Correct that last year would have been Commissioner Wolf's in the normal rotation. She would have been president. She would have been vice president the year before, which she was, and she would have been secretary before that. This year would have been your normal rotation into the presidency.
So are you looking for a second to your motion or what are you looking for?
No, it's an automatic second. I'm just having discussion. But again, I'm not going to, I don't want to, if you don't want us voting on you in this position, then I think you need to say, I don't want to be president. If you're open to it, then I'll go ahead and proceed with the vote.
I'm open to accepting it.
Okay. Is there any other discussion? Okay.
So, may I ask for a clarification? Commissioner Olson, you say you're open to it. So you've declined twice in the past since I came on the board. And are you saying you would not decline?
Well, I am not declining, no.
Okay.
And, you know, I really wish this isn't the way it's going to end up. I really do. But the motion's on the table. I'm interested in accepting it. The seat.
Okay. Any more discussion? Commissioner Wolf, do you have any more discussion on my motion?
Not really. If Commissioner Olson is eager to serve, and I'm sure she feels very confident that she would do a really, really good job. So I would not oppose it. I think it is time for some rotation, you know.
In my experience, Commissioner Olson has done a very good job in the past.
I know. Yeah, I agree.
Okay. So we'll now vote on my nomination of Commissioner Olson for president. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
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 Okay. We have a new president for next
Logan,
year. Yes.
I think the motion had to include all three positions in it.
I don't think it has to. The script says that, but I think I've asked Melissa before, and we can take each one separately. So now we have a vacancy for secretary. Is there a nomination for secretary for 2022?
I would nominate Sid Logan for secretary.
Second.
Okay. Is there any discussion?
I have none.
Okay, let's vote. All those in favor of Sid Logan for president or for secretary for the year 2022, say aye. All those opposed, say nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
And so vice president? Or is that just...
Do we need a nomination? Do we need a motion for...
I would do a motion just to make sure we're clear on all three positions.
Okay. I make a motion that Commissioner Wolf continue to be our vice president for the year 2022.
Second.
Any discussion on the motion? Okay. All those in favor of Commissioner Wolf being vice president for the year 2022, please say aye. All those opposed, say nay.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right. Next is item D, our 2021 budget forecast and major project status report, October results. We have Sarah Bond here to answer any questions about the report. Are there any questions about the report, commissioners?
I have none.
No, I have none.
I don't really have any either. We talked about the water revenues being up. I don't have any others. Okay. Next is item 11, our governance planning calendar. Are there any changes to the governance planning calendar?
Looks like we have only 1 month, right? The clerks haven't prepared next year's.
I think we do, we have it in there.
Oh, we do? Okay, I'm on the wrong one, sorry.
Well, we have a proposed one, that's the next one.
Yeah.
Agenda item B is a proposed.
Okay.
Any questions on the proposed calendar?
No.
No.
Okay. Is there any further business to come before the board?
No.
Okay. No, I have none.
Hearing none, it is 3:27 p.m. and our meeting is adjourned. Be in good health, everyone.